from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our opening hour this morning, on Friday, Google announced plans to expand its headquarters in Mountain View. The design, which would add about 2.5 million square feet to its existing campus, includes movable biosphere-like canopies made of metal and glass, as well as parks and cafes that will be open to the public. We'll look at the impacts of the expansion on housing, jobs, and traffic in Mountain View and the surrounding region. Join us for Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. On Friday, Google submitted an ambitious and innovatively designed plan for a giant new headquarters near Shoreline Park in Mountain View. And the proposed development, which includes no plans for housing to go along with the expansion, would include canopied buildings taking up space equal to three Empire State Buildings. Many of the big tech companies in Silicon Valley have plans for expanding. In fact, both LinkedIn and Microsoft have also submitted plans. And serious questions obviously arise about the balance of jobs and housing and traffic gridlock and astronomical home and rental prices. This morning's opening Forum Hour, we focus our attention on these proposed expansions and what they mean to Mountain View, a relatively small town 40 miles south of San Francisco. Joining us in studio is Matt O'Brien, who is a reporter with the San Jose Mercury News, who's been covering this story. Matt, welcome. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Louise Mozingo here with us in studio, professor and chair of landscape architecture and environmental planning at UC Berkeley, author of Pastoral Capitalism, A History of Suburban Corporate Landscapes. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Michael.
Glad to have you. And also with us by phone this morning is Lenny Siegel. He's a council member of the Mountain View City Council. He's also the executive director of the Center for Public Environmental Oversight. Lenny Siegel, welcome to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we'll also say good morning to Ken Rosenberg, also a member of the Mountain View City Council. Good morning. Ken Rosenberg.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you. Glad to have all of you aboard here. And I'm going to begin with Matt O'Brien, who, as I said, is here with us in studio. And let's just talk about this process for a moment. We're talking, I believe, about roughly 3.4 million square feet. Google asking for almost all of that or pretty close to all of that as opposed to LinkedIn and Microsoft?
Yeah, they're asking for pretty much all of the land that the city has set aside for new office development. This is a massive plan that would cover four sites between Highway 101 and San Francisco Bay with sort of this really stunning and striking looking spider's nest of translucent canopies that would have public green spaces moving around them and under them. And it looks pretty amazing, but we actually haven't Google presented this to the Mountain View City Council on Friday and put out a statement with a video about it. But the actual documents, which are hundreds of pages, did not become publicly available until this morning to people who go to the fifth floor of City Hall. So we haven't seen everything yet.
And we should mention that we did invite Google to participate in this morning's programs. They declined. But this is a translucent biosphere with all kinds of ecological touches to it. And it's also something that you've described in your coverage as whimsical and outlandish. What do you mean?
I think it's unlike anything certainly in Silicon Valley right now. There's, as a lot of people know, Apple's building this huge complex in Cupertino.
Which looks like a rocket ship.
Which looks like a rocket ship. And Facebook's has commissioned Frank Gehry to build their own signature development in Menlo Park. This is it looks to me a lot different in the sense that some of Google's statements are actually seem to be a little bit of a dig at Apple, in the sense that Apple is this sort of what they are building right now in Cupertino is kind of looks like a fortress. It's going to be inaccessible to the public. That's part of their plan because they want to be able to develop things in secret. Google at least is saying that they want this to be a really open and publicly accessible and transparent new neighborhood. which right now is a pretty conventional office park where they're located right now.
Well, they're talking about adding about 10,000 workers, but no new parking places, not a single parking place. Their pledge is to somehow reduce traffic. And this new model is supposed to get people not to drive? How's that work?
I think we'll have to see exactly what's in the plan. I think they're offering some – they actually started a community shuttle in January. That's a free shuttle that loops around the city. I think they're probably going to try to offer some mitigation on the traffic, but it is hard to imagine with 10,000 more employees how traffic's going to be reduced.
And there's nothing in this proposal about housing?
No, right now the city has banned housing in this area, but the two council members that are on this going to be talking later are part of a new slate that took over City Hall this year, and they're more pro housing. So I think the city has already started to reconsider their housing ban in that area.
Yeah,
and Google would like to build housing there because I think it feels like right now it has this fleet of 140 shuttles that carries people from San Francisco, from Oakland, from Marin County, from Santa Cruz. It carries about 6,000 people to Google every morning. And that does reduce car traffic, but there's a lot of shuttles coming into the city. If some of those people could live closer to campus, maybe that would reduce traffic a little bit.
Again, Matt O'Brien is a reporter for the San Jose Mercury News who has been following this story about the Google proposal expanding Mountain View headquarters. And we should mention that there were also proposals put in by LinkedIn and Microsoft. Let me bring the council members in on this. And Ken Rosenberg, go to you first. You saw the plans and, well, were impressed?
Yes. Google shared the plans with the council members before they released them. And basically the same information that has been publicly released now, and they're very interesting.
And they also take up most of the office space, which is limited, right?
Right. By design, we have in Mountain View an ordinance called the North Bayshore Precise Plan, which limits the amount of new constructed office space. And the Google request, as I understand it, and I haven't seen any of the details yet, would suck up about all of it.
The mayor, as I understand it, was opposed to new housing, though he's been relenting somewhat. And former Councilwoman Margaret Abe Koga said they want to do things their way, meaning Google wants to do things their way. So give us just your perspective on what's going to happen vis-a-vis more housing. You've got limited office space. You've got more employees being hired. And just I know you're in favor of more housing, but how's that going to work?
Well, if the council decides to allow housing in the North Bayshore area, an item that has not yet been voted on, then the hope is that the companies like Google, and they have signaled an interest in having housing in the North Bayshore area where Google is headquartered, and the reason for that is what you were talking about before. People do not like driving into the area; it's very difficult, and a lot of the employees of these high-tech companies have been asking for it.
Well, there's land available on Shoreline Boulevard, but there's nothing, again, in the proposal about that, right, and in terms of housing that could accommodate some of the hiring that's going on.
That's right. I mean, as Matt said earlier, it's not legal to do so right now, so it would have been inappropriate for Google or LinkedIn or any company to ask for housing in that area.
But you are in favor of, I think, what you've called a holistic approach to housing. What do you mean by that?
I'm in favor of I'm in favor of exploring housing in the North Bayshore area. We're going to have to have a firm understanding of what it would be like to live out there. Right now, there's a mobile home park and roughly 350 units of mobile homes out there. The North Bayshore is a sensitive area. It's wildlife area. It's next to the bay. And so we're going to have a really good understanding of what it would be. But conceptually, I'm very interested in putting housing out there.
And let me go to Len Siegel on this. Lenny Siegel, you're also in favor of housing where and under what circumstances?
Well, basically, I proposed at least 5,000 housing units in what we would call live-work-play neighborhood in North Bayshore. We're talking about building housing on Google property, which they've shown an interest in doing, along Shoreline Boulevard and also further east. There is some underdeveloped property there owned by Google, Sobrato, and other companies. I think if the council comes to an agreement about what we want in terms of housing in North Bay Shore, it'll happen because the demand is there. The property owners want it, and the potential residents want it. One thing I want to make clear, though, Google has said they will make their property available for housing. They are not proposing a company town where you would
have... Well, that was the next question I was going to ask you, because there's been a lot of concern raised about Mountain View becoming a company town for Google.
Well, Google is, you know, by far the largest landowner and employer in Mountain View, and they have some imaginative ideas, but it's our job to weigh them against the other proposals and the needs expressed by the residents. Google recognizes that it's the city's final decision what North Bay Shore is going to look like. Interesting thing about, you know, everybody's focused on the project, their particular design for their buildings. In fact, Google's proposing more. It's proposing transportation improvements, other public benefits, which the city called for when it adopted the precise plan last year. And again, it's our job to weigh what Google's proposing against what the other companies are proposing to come up with a comprehensive neighborhood plan for the North Bay Shore area.
So you feel you can work with Google, or for that matter, any of the big tech giants who want into Mountain View now? I understand that.
Our interests overlap, but they are not identical. Google has shown an interest in seeing extension of rail of some sort from the light rail stations at Ellis Street and downtown Mountain View. And some of us have already indicated that that's something we'd like to study as well. So we're, you know, some people have portrayed this as a fight between Google and the city of Mountain View. I want to make clear that's not what's happening. Google's growth, the growth of other companies here, has created enormous challenges for Mountain View and the rest of the Bay Area. But we're trying to work with them to solve these problems, not to fight it out.
What about the kind of opposition you hear? Matt, let me go to you on this. You know, there are those who are comparing this to Pac-Man gobbling up real estate and all that sort of thing. I'm sure you've heard some of that.
Yeah, there are concerns. When Google first moved to Mountain View in 1999, it had about 40 employees. The first article we wrote about them was about not about how awesome their search engine was. Just it was about this crazy little startup that was offering all these amenities and hiring a cook and things like that. So it's sort of in their...
Doing your dry cleaning, walking your dog, right?
Yeah, it's sort of in their culture to create this really fun place. But the concerns, as the company has grown, it's taken over buildings that previously were occupied by other companies that don't exist anymore in a lot of cases. They've tried to do some things that especially the council, some of the previous council really wasn't happy about. They wanted to, in addition to owning most of the commercial land in the city, or at least in this part of the city, they also have a major interest in the federally owned Moffett Field and the NASA Ames Research Center. They're going to take over part of that land in April and want to refurbish the historic Hangar 1 and do all kinds of things there. They wanted to, Google several times tried to get the Mountain View Council to allow them to build these two road bridges across Stevens Creek, which Mountain View leaders have spent decades trying to make this a beautiful pathway and restore the natural habitat. So there was a lot of resistance to that. I think early on, Google was coming forward with all these ideas and felt that, you know, everybody loves Google so much that the city would just let them do this. And there was a lot of resistance, and some of that still exists. The other concerns from the people of Mountain View are just really general. It's not all Google's fault, but traffic is really bad right now. It's worse, I'm told, than it was before the last dot-com bust. It's really hard for longtime residents or for people who want to move in to the city who aren't high-income tech workers to afford the houses that are more than a million. The median is more than a million, and rentals go often for $3,000 or more.
Again, Matt O'Brien is a reporter for the San Jose Mercury News. He's here with us in studio. So is Louise Mazingo, who is professor and chair of landscape architecture and environmental planning at UC Berkeley, also the author of Pastoral Capitalism, A History of Suburban Corporate Landscapes. And Professor Mazingo, you've seen all the plans, right?
Yes, I want to get you
to comment on them, but there's a big challenge here that I think you've located that may be at the center of concern of many people, how you retrofit a low-density area to fit a larger, denser development. I mean, that's a big question, particularly with the Google plans.
Yes, I mean, I think this is the core, the deepest problem here. Is that this is one part of a whole stretch along 101 that's in the process of densifying because of land values, because the tech companies are caught between sea level rise and permanent open space on the upside. There's only so much land to go around. So there's going to be a process of densification in which people are trying to optimize their properties. The issue is there's not a lot of integrated solutions that need to extend beyond Mountain View to Menlo Park and to Sunnyvale and to Cupertino and to North San Jose, really looking at reshaping the kind of land use and transportation profile to really address the issues of a, you know, post-peak oil and water future. And the post-peak water future is coming down very quickly in California. So we can talk a lot about the particulars of this proposal, Google's proposal, but the kind of larger problem here is quite critical to address in an integrated way. I mean, I keep on asking myself, you know, when are these major companies and the major sort of set of political entities going to sit down and really try to figure this out? When are we going to have a 21st century progressive era in which both, the capitalist and the politician and the advocates kind of come together and begin to really reshape the landscape of this of America suburbia in general, but this place in particular, which is under such pressure. You have here an intersection of both profitability and problems that seems to me an enormous opportunity to innovate.
Historically, I think they used to refer to this as manifest destiny. But what you're talking about is a collaboration between Google and other companies and government. And why has that not been put forward?
Well, I mean, government has its very incremental, very slow, very collaborative process, which stands in direct opposition to the kind of, you know, quick thinking, innovation, which relies on, you know, quick decisions, you know, quarterly profits or certainly annual profits, and very sort of very, very quick results. And so those two kind of cultures are very, very different. But it's not that they cannot come together. And I think it's actually critical for them to come together. And it's going to be probably frustrating on all sides. But that's the way you bring really substantive change. I just very recently, the terrific architect Renzo Piano said that, you know, the one of the challenges of the last half century has been to sort of reinforce the center. And now that our big challenge in the next 4 or 5 decades is to reinvent the periphery. And he's dead right. Dead on. And this is a terrific place to do it. You have people who are really innovative and are thinking in very creative ways. You have politicians who I think are very interested in the public good, but also sort of caught in still somewhat of a suburban, low density, everybody in their cars mindset. And I understand here at Mountain View, people are thinking in a more integrated transportation and land use sort of way. But you know, the progress is not meeting the immediate needs of this region and certainly not of the Silicon Valley.
Well, we used to talk a lot about smart growth. I mean, that was kind of the key phrase back in the day. And it still ought to be rearing up in some fashion and dominating this discussion. But getting back to the Google plans themselves, I mean, it's really unknown how large the buildings are going to be or how many workers are going to be accommodating, or even what the cost is at this point. This is pretty incoherent at this point.
Yeah, it's a very utopian scheme. And I think that one of the things to understand is that they're proposing this canopy shell, which is part photovoltaic and other kinds of kind of infrastructure, underneath of which are a series of a kind of a almost a kind of Lego-like office increments, I think of like 45 by 90 feet, which can be stacked and rearranged in all sorts of ways through these new devices that they're calling Craybots, which are crane robots. And to me,
it's all very futuristic. Really.
Very futuristic. And I think that one of the things they're trying to do, which I think is actually very, very interesting from kind of an architectural history point of view, is that, you know, with the Apple II campus, you know, Stephen Jobs sort of laid out a kind of architectural landmark that had never been seen in the Silicon Valley. And it's obviously going to cost the company an enormous amount of money. The latest sort of estimates are $5 billion, which will make it one of the most expensive buildings ever built, and certainly one of the most expensive office building ever built. So he sort of upped the game. Of course, it was at the end of his life, and there were a lot of reasons why that had to happen. And then you had Facebook, which was a much more upstart company, you know, immediately moving to a Frank Gehry building. And what Google is doing, which is actually kind of interesting, is they're trying to create a landmark piece of architecture at the same time maintaining the kinds of flexibility that's been typical of the Silicon Valley. I mean, we may certainly see the office park landscape as really, really boring, but one of the things that office park landscape has allowed the Silicon Valley to do is sort of accommodate the kind of, you know, continuous sort of break off, you know, engineers break off, they do a startup, they get, you know, venture capital, they go to IPO, and then they break up and so forth. There's this incredibly dynamic cycle in the Silicon Valley, which has these office parks, which are quite interchangeable and quite generic, has accommodated extremely well. And it's never been about the swing of your offices. It's about the, you know, the circuits on your chips or the kinds of software you do or the kind of internet platform you do. And now, you know, over the last sort of 7 or 8 years, you know, the swank of your offices has mattered. And Google's trying to split the difference there. They're both trying to create a highly sort of imageable, prestigious, internet-ready vision of a company. At the same time, with these kit of parts that they're literally going to move around, stack up to six, sort of stick six stories high, but then they can change that around. They're also trying to maintain that kind of flexibility that's been inherent in the kind of quality of the Silicon Valley up until this point.
These are huge ambitions that you're talking about. Are the agencies able to deal with this?
Well, I mean, I look at the plan, and the immediate thing I'm looking at, comparing the precise plan with Google plan, I'm sitting there, how are they going to calculate the floor area ratio, for instance? I mean, the precise plan has, you know, it is a very precise plan in terms of floor area ratios and density. And all of a sudden you have a canopy, which is over some public space and some green space, but also over office space. And so what is the footprint? And that Google is implying that the footprint over time will change, that it'll be stacked in different sorts of ways. And so how is, I mean, there is not at this point that I can understand, there is not a kind of capacity in the city to even do some basic calculations that are typical of planning.
Some big questions, and I know listeners have questions as well, and I'd like to invite you who are listening to join us, not only with questions, but comments. In fact, this is now an interactive program, and you are cordially invited to participate. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls, so feel free to join us. Again, that's toll-free, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're spending this hour talking about proposals for expansion. Google has proposals that they put in on Friday, major proposal in terms of Mountain View and expanding their headquarters, and so did LinkedIn and Microsoft. And Matt O'Brien is with us, helping us navigate through understanding all that. He's a reporter with the San Jose Mercury News. Luis Munzingo is also here with us, and Luis Munzingo is professor and chair of landscape architecture and environmental planning at the University of California, Berkeley. We have on the line Lenny Siegel, member of the Council of Mountain View City, and Ken Rosenberg, also on the Mountain View City Council. In fact, Ken, I was just going to ask you about responding to what we heard before we went to the break. I want to bring our listeners in this, but just getting more cooperation with the city and getting the city agencies behind all this and how that can work from your perspective and work smoothly.
Well, there was a lot said that I'd like to comment on. You mentioned yourself smart growth, the old model of smart growth, and the idea of smart growth is that you put a high density of housing near a transit corridor, for example, and that's one of the issues that we're all grappling with here, is that we just don't have adequate transit in the Bay Area. Google and other companies in the North Bay Shore area are all chartered with trying to reduce their traffic as they increase their floor space. One of the ways that Google has mentioned to me that they're going to try to do this is that, as we all are aware, they have a very adequate bus system taking people from all over the Bay Area to Mountain View campus and some of their other places. One of the things that as a corporation they focus on are people who live at far distances, ignoring the people who live not too terribly far away. Well, part of their plan for the construction of the new office space is to take that same model and apply it for people who live not too terribly far away. Think Redwood City to Mountain View, for example, much closer. Their goal is to try to get as many single occupancy vehicles off the road, and that's the goal that we all share as a region. We want to see less cars on the road. However, that does spur, knowing that we have tremendous traffic in the area, the conversation is coming to a head where we have to start taking action on improving our public transit system, our trains, and so forth. And as Lenny said earlier, we have a last mile barrier in Mountain View where the Caltrain station is a couple miles away from the North Bay Shore area. So how do we get people from the train to the North Bay Shore where the workers actually work? So these are the issues that we're all grappling with. And this is not something that cities are doing by themselves. There are efforts underway to make sure that cities are talking to each other, not just cities, but all the various agencies and whatnot. Silicon Valley Leadership Group, Joint Venture Silicon Valley, all the cities, the California League of Cities, these are all organizations that are chartered with bringing people together to help collectively solve these issues.
And Lenny Siegel, are you fairly optimistic that you're going to be able to solve these issues? I mean, we've already raised a lot of very thorny and vexing issues, to be sure, here.
I guess our goal is to keep things from getting worse. I've said that we're blessed with a problem that the rest of the world would love to have, too many good jobs. And by that, I mean too many good jobs for our housing stock and our transportation network. And what we're trying to do, working with the companies, is provide that housing and build that transportation without damaging the existing neighborhoods in our and surrounding communities. That's a real challenge. There aren't a lot of opportunities in terms of land, but there are a lot of innovative ideas that are coming forward. And given the results of our election late last year, I think Mountain View may be in the leadership among the communities in the South Bay in addressing the jobs, housing, imbalance.
Well, let's hear from some Mountain View residents. We've got some on the line here. We begin, in fact, with Heidi. Heidi, join us. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. I just wanted to say that my husband and I have lived here in Mountain View for over 20 years, right in downtown. And I think, like Lenny Siegel, we have a really enviable problem here that many would wish they had. But one of the issues that I think is really difficult for us, we're raising a child with a disability, and because of his disability and many more like him, they're really left out of the economy that Google has helped shape here, the digital economy. And they're particularly marginalized when it comes to employment. And when I was looking at the plans for Google's new site, I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if Google would consider also addressing, which I think is a good fit with their plan, addressing the food security and local food production issues, if they set aside a small portion of their campus for greenhouse growing and aquaponics, we could hire people with disabilities to produce food right on campus and find one small way, to address the population that pretty much is getting both priced out and unable to find jobs here. We're really struggling with a way to stay in downtown Mountain View that we love, because we've got a person in our family who's not going to be able to have competitive employment here unless we get creative. So I just want to encourage Google and other companies to begin to think about the populations that, are inadvertently being marginalized because of their success.
Heidi, I thank you for that call. Hope Google is listening. Once again, we invited them to be part of this morning's program. They declined. We get Lauren next. Lauren, hi.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment regarding who Google is and who are they really hiring. I've been in technology for over 15 years in sales. I'm extremely successful. They invited me to interview, and because my grade point average was 3.8, not above 4.0, I was disqualified. So we're looking at a company that has less than 20% women. Majority of the employees come from all different parts of the world, not the San Francisco Bay Area, although the discussion seems to be around, you know, commuting and local folks. The reality is this company is not a local company in any sense of the word. So when a city council says we want to give all the building permits to Google, we want to allow them to have, you know, all of these benefits that other companies cannot have, what you're really saying is you're going to not allow jobs for the local economy. And, you know, as a successful person, if I can't get in, the average technology worker can't get in, you're talking about, you know, a segment of people that is going to shift the demographics of your city in such a significant manner. So, you know, I would implore the city council to really look at who, how many people work for Google, how many are really from California, let alone the Bay Area, how many are women, and what real opportunities are you bringing to the Bay Area? Thank you so much.
All right, thank you for that call. Lenny Siegel, are you taking these into account? Are they part of the whole process?
Oh yes, you know, but, you know, Mountain View has a long history. We've had several generations of growth in Silicon Valley, and each new set of companies brings in new people, and we welcome them, and we integrate them into our community. But we're trying to maintain the diversity of Mountain View. Mountain View, you know, 60% renter, large percentage of Asian and Latino people, and we try to keep it that way, and we're going to continue to try to keep it that way, regardless of the interests of the companies. But again, many of my neighbors now are people who work at Google. Before that, they worked at Sun or Silicon Graphics, and we aren't about to exclude anybody because they weren't born here. In fact, most of the people weren't born here.
Well, let me go to an online comment. I'll go, Ken Rosenberg, to you with this. This is a listener named Mason who writes online. Google is hurting the Californian and U.S. economy through tax avoidance. I'd like to know if any additional tax breaks or public money will be involved in this new construction project, including Google's purchase, upkeep, or development of areas slated for public parks, et cetera.
To my understanding, the answer to that question is no. And let me just comment on one thing that the last caller said. There's a process that the city council will be going through, and it's going to take a while, and we have to sort through all the applications. There's by no means any interest that I perceive that we want to give all of the land opportunity or office development to one company. I think that would be that would go against our wishes for economic diversity. So I think that should be incorporated into the conversation.
Well, let me incorporate something else and get your response. A listener named Ben says, the city doesn't want housing because you can't tax housing due to Prop 13. That's why the city wants businesses and nothing but businesses.
Yeah, I
disagree with that because we start off with this problem of having too many jobs and not enough places for people to live. And we're chartered with helping solve that problem. So I disagree with that.
And well, here's
Michael?
I'm sorry, please, go ahead. Yeah.
That multifamily housing doesn't necessarily provide less revenue to the city than office development, particularly offices that don't produce goods that are taxed under the sales tax.
Matt O'Brien, let me go back to you for a moment here, actually to a listener who writes, the design of the new building looks great, although in the video posted by Google last week featuring an overview of the design, there was no mention of the area's vulnerability to sea level rise. I hope they have taken that into account, given the current forecast for the region. Might be a good time for Google to get into the seawall business as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's part of the plan.
Converting some of their property into marshland, which will absorb some of the sea level rise. They're also proposing widening the kind of creek area, again, to absorb sea level rise. They're extremely aware of this because they are very close to the bay. So they have actually integrated a kind of profile that accounts at least for the sort of first increment of sea level rise that we can predict. So they're not unaware of this, as are most large property owners across the bay. They are holding that into account.
Can I just follow this up with something else here for a moment? Because we got a lot of calls to go to. But another listener writes, in general, the land, and this is to you, Professor Mazingo, in general, the land between 101 and the bay is both seismically unstable and prone to flooding. A company like Google has the resources to engineer buildings that can ride out a major quake, but to build a single-family home to those standards would be unaffordable and uninsurable.
new single-family homes have to be built to that standard as well. So it's a question of retrofitting older single-family homes. So any new construction will abide by California
seismic rules. Yeah,
absolutely. Nobody's going to go short on that. That's a very foolish form
already.
Of investment.
Yeah. Well, let me get another Mountain View caller on here, and Catherine, that's you. Join us, please. Catherine's gone. Okay. Let me go to another caller then. Gavin, morning. You're on.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, wanted to ask the council members, the kind of gentrification going on with tech is more than just a Mountain View issue, and I imagine that some of these 10,000 jobs are not, you know, these folks are not all going to live in Mountain View. So I'm wondering kind of what cooperation the council members are considering with other communities in the area, particularly in terms of the kind of cultural and social costs that these new jobs are going to mean.
Ken or Lenny, either one of you can pick up on this.
Well, this is Lenny. I believe that Mountain View has to work with surrounding communities to overcome the jobs housing imbalance. Gentrification is a major problem here. Our kids can't afford to live here. People who've lived here for decades are being forced out. We need to work together to limit job growth and provide more housing. No question about it.
Looking at an online comment from Ben who writes, what is this fear of the company town? Done responsibly and with proper planning, companies like Google, Facebook, and Apple can create innovative solutions to population growth issues. I've seen the plans, and this is no Flint or Detroit, Michigan. Maybe they can incorporate the Hyperloop into these solutions to speed up travel time. As you can imagine, getting all kinds of responses from from listeners along these lines. But let me go to the council members again with an email from Alex who says, a perfect example of what's wrong in Mountain View is a small project on Rengsdorf Avenue. There's a developer proposing to demolish a 32-unit working-class apartment complex and about 40 old trees in order to build 829-unit single-family townhome projects that will both displace workers and increase the economic divide. Well, back to Lenny and Ken. Yeah.
I'll take a stab at it. You have an issue here
This is Ken Rosenberg, yeah.
This is Ken. You have an issue right in that scenario where you're coupling the needs of the city with the rights of the owner, and we're always going to be in that bind. When the economy is as super white hot as it is right now, everybody who is a landowner is going to be trying to maximize the utility of their land, and it's very challenging from a legislative perspective to tell somebody they can't do something on their land, especially if it's already zoned for it. Having said that, these are the type of decisions that make council so interesting.
Well, one more online comment, then we'll go to your calls. Amy writes, the first principle of planning, diversification. Mountain View should not hitch its future so much to a single corporation. Visit Flint, Michigan to see why. Google is unwise to put so much of its holding in one area, which is already past saturation point and unable or politically unwilling to house anyone with a middle income or lower. Both city and company would benefit from diversifying beyond each other. Let me bring another caller in here, and that's a Mountain View caller.
By the way, I've told Google that.
Are they listening? Catherine, go ahead.
Thank you. I am so relieved to hear the council members recognize the singular natural habitat at this location in their decision-making. One example I'd like to mention is that this location is on an international flyway, and researchers have found that putting glass buildings along this route will require special glass so the birds can perceive the barrier and not run into it. And I'm curious, would the council members consider using this glass as a requirement in the buildings in North Bayshore?
Lenny Siegel.
Yeah, of course. This is one of the questions that we're going to ask as we get to the details and design. This is very close to Shoreline Park, and we value the wildlife there. It's very close to where the bay is being restored to tidal wetlands. So, yeah, definitely we want to look at those things. I have a feeling that Google can pay to get the kind of glass that we need. So we'll probably, if indeed we move forward with this design, we'll insist on it.
And Ken Rosenberg, I want to make sure I have this figure right. I believe Google owns about 83 separate properties presently in Mountain View.
Or leases,
yeah.
Yeah, they have a wide swath of the property in Mountain View. That's correct.
If I could just speak, I think they're...
This is Matt O'Brien.
They have about 19% of the employee base are Google workers right now. It's about 15,000 people. And their contribution, because it's not a target or Walmart, their contribution to the sales tax is pretty insignificant. So most of their contribution to Mountain View's tax revenue right now is fairly modest and related to their all the property that they own. I think it's just about 6 to 8% of the city's budget.
Here's a listener who tweets, I think Google should just buy some property in Oakland and build a stadium-like building there. And Michelle tweets, what's going on with Google's stalled building project at their Moffett Field lease? Do you know, Matt?
They've abandoned it.
Louise,
well,
yeah.
They're still interested. They've abandoned a big office design they had for that property, although they say that it's still in consideration. They are taking over, in addition to that, they're sort of taking over the management of a large portion of the federal land so that they can rehabilitate Hangar 1 and Hangar 2 and Hangar 3, which are these really, you know, everybody who passes 101 sees Hangar 1. And they want to use that. I think they may already be using it to test their self-driving cars, and they may want to use it for some of their more far out research, like with drones and space exploration, and a lot of the other things that they're thinking of working on. They have a major interest in that land.
And here's Lily from Hayward. Lily, you're on. Good morning.
Hi, I'm a recent grad, and I live in the East Bay and work in downtown Mountain View. And I drive every day, and I have an hour and a half commute. And I wanted to know if there's any discussion around kind of the gridlock traffic that the moderate housing in the East Bay, people working in Silicon Valley, Palo Alto, is contributing to, and how there's no real public transportation to get from the East Bay into that area. I'll take my answer offline.
Okay, and we thank you for the question. Ken Rosenberg?
Yes, and I'm actually very hopeful that the critical mass of traffic that we're experiencing right now will spur a more rapid response from the various agencies. This is the problem of the day right now. And I would like to just add that the people should be allowed to live wherever they want. During the campaign, there was a lot of conversation about, boy, if Google or LinkedIn or anybody else wants to add more office space, that we have a responsibility to house them in Mountain View. And I don't necessarily agree with that. But I do think that people have the choice to live in San Francisco or Oakland or whatnot, and they should have the ability to get to work in a timely manner using public transit.
And let me mention, by the way, that Google's video of its proposed building is now on our website, and you can see it there. Go to kqed.org/forum. You can also put comments there on our website, kqed.org/forum, or questions you might have. And here's another Mountain View caller. Rob, join us. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking me on the show today. It's a great topic. I just wanted to point out, or actually ask a question, is why does the city and government tend to always focus on removing vehicles from the road? Now, I understand that that's a pretty much an easy kind of a talking point to say, but why aren't we focusing on efficiency? For example, you know, I see a lot of instances of commuting every day where lanes are taken away from their freeway, then lanes are given back, and each time, you know, it causes turbulence, mainly because there's very poor driver education in this state where people don't understand how to merge. But then when you have all these situations where, you know, you're taking lanes away and you're bringing them back, it just causes disturbances. So why can't we just have a constant number of lanes, you know, north to south, and actually take Caltrans to task in terms of actually making, you know, a good, efficient system and also requiring much better, you know, driver training, for example, in Germany. Mm-hmm. Also, I see all these Google buses just clogging up the left-hand lane. Why aren't they supposed to be in the far right lane? Thanks.
Okay, thanks for the question. Can I go to you on this, Professor Mazingo?
I mean, there is a limit to the capacity of drivers to drive efficiently. They've been studying this for about 80 years, and that's probably not going to change. And a lot of people are arguing that their solutions are not in sort of wider traffic lanes for individual automobiles, whether or not there's one or three people within them, but rather more collective transportation systems. I mean, one of the problems also in thinking about the Google buses is like, okay, that's solves the problem for Google employees. It doesn't solve the problem for the larger metropolitan region. And, you know, I know it's kind of unimaginable at this moment, but there may be a time when Google is not willing to spend that kind of money to support its employees moving to and from its offices. And there are lots of also very important job generating Silicon Valley companies that haven't gone down that route or not don't have the capacity to go down that route. So what do you do in that sort of situation? That's why it's incredibly important for a kind of more collective vision to come together here. And I would like that people keep on talking about how the public agencies have to come together. Sure, that's absolutely, and they have to be sort of advocate in the public interest. But it's also time to get these stupendously moneyed corporations at the table as well, and to rethink their kind of, you know, their sort of separatist vision of solving their problem to a more publicly responsible, larger vision of solving the problems of the metropolitan region.
And again, Louise Mazingo is professor and chair of Landscape Architecture and Environmental Planning at UC Berkeley and author of Pastoral Capitalism. Let me read a couple of online comments before we go on to more of your calls and emails. This listener says, build something in Fremont. Why does everything have to be in Mountain View? Fremont is home to a lot of the people that work in Sunnyvale, Mountain View, Santa Clara. Let's have some real tech companies move here. Another listener writes, say all you want about local housing and mass transit, but the roads here are terrible. On-ramps to major arteries such as 237 are pathetic. Silicon Valley is world-class, but the roads here are nearly third world. And let me go to you with this, Lenny Siegel. This is Mike who writes, for years the idea of extending BART down the peninsula was stymied by the suburban parts of the region. With 10,000 new Google employees, will Mountain View and Santa Clara endorse a BART extension to the Google campus and the new 49ers stadium?
Probably not BART. Probably we're support, at least I personally am supporting expanded use of Caltrain, but we need to basically get people, from whether it's BART or Caltrain, to the centers of employment. So I've been proposing that we tax the companies, the large employers, with a payroll tax to pay for the transit that's needed for people to get from Hayward or San Jose to North Bayshore.
And Ken Rosenberg, Ruth writes, Mountain View and Sunnyvale don't allow in-law quarters built in private backyards. If they allowed it, there would be many small units built by my neighbors.
Love that idea. I'm looking forward to studying that on council sometime soon.
And here's a thought from George in an email who writes, about 20 years ago, Mountain View picked Silicon Graphics over Adobe for expansion in Shoreline Park. Obviously, this was the wrong bet. By excluding other companies, could Mountain View be making the same mistake? Lenny Siegel?
We haven't decided which proposals we'll accept and which we won't like. But in any case, this area is the best place in the world to set up a high-tech company, the best place to expand. And no matter which companies fail, other companies are going to fill their offices. Google is located where Silicon Graphics used to be.
And we go to more of your phone calls. Let's go to Pat. Pat, you're on.
Hi. I live in Palo Alto, and all of us in this area are dealing with the problem. But regarding the Google buses, yes, they take care of the employees getting to and from work. But what about when those employees are on their own time? I would imagine that most of them have cars, and they're going to be on the roads as well. So the Google buses aren't solving the problem of general traffic in the area.
Comment, Matt? Matt O'Brien?
I guess the traffic, I mean, one thing that's interesting about Google's video is that the architects envision that this new campus, in addition to being a workplace in the weekdays, will be so cool that people will want to go there on the weekends too. So I guess there could be, there's going to be more workers for sure, which might mean Google's going to be commissioning more shuttle buses. But I'm not sure if how much the new residents would contribute
Google
to that.
Google is envisioning a neighborhood in North Bayshore that includes housing, that includes retail, that includes entertainment, and includes employment. And if we can create a denser urban area in the suburban environment, then we can help solve that problem. It's a bigger problem than Mountain View, but I think we're setting an example for how other communities around here can address the jobs, housing, imbalance.
Let me try to get a Cupertino caller in. Keith, that's you. Welcome. You're on the program.
Hi. Yes, I'm a resident of the city of Cupertino and have participated in community workshops for the huge Apple office building that was recently approved and is under construction. As part of being part of the community, I've watched that the housing requirement, which is an ABAG, a local agency which requires housing to match whatever office and other development you put in a community, that housing has never actually been procured during the actual approval of all this office. And right now the city of Cupertino is going through a major general plan amendment to try to accommodate all the housing. Guess where the housing is going? In the biggest shopping center that we have in the city of Cupertino, Valco, that's going to be reassigned or rezoned for housing. So you get one trade is you get more office to Apple, and the other trade is you lose retail, which the community needs to survive, to put housing in. This seems to be an irrational way to develop. There's no way to trade development between communities such as housing and office.
Keith, I'm glad you brought that up because we have to conclude, and I'm glad to have gotten that call on. But before we conclude here, Ken Rosenberg, we got seconds left. Can you just tell us what's next in this process and how does the public get involved?
There'll be lots of opportunity for citizens to come forth and give their ideas and so forth through public comments sections. But the city of Mountain View will be city staff is sorting through the applications that came in last Friday. The council will be given a report in April to discuss, and we'll go from there. It's probably going to be a multi-year process.
Well, we thank both of the city council members who joined us this morning, Ken Rosenberg and Lenny Siegel. Also thanks to Matt O'Brien, reporter for the San Jose Mercury News, and Louise Mozingo, professor and chair of landscape architecture and environmental planning at UC Berkeley. And thanks to you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We're here with you every Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated in the evening. Next up, Joyce Carol Oates. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.